Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Hey, please share. We still have a lot of people that we got to wake up, and if we don't get on the right side here, folks, we're going to be in the same place we were at in 2020. We got a great guest for us, Sam Anthony, and Sam's going to be telling us something about a new venture that he's involved in. And it's attracted many prominent people. One name you'll recognize, Sarah Westall. She's a frequent guest, good friend of mine on the show. And we're going to get into what that's all about. But first, 66 banks are on the watch list. And Sarah and I were talking about this. It should probably be more like 1,600. And under Dodd-Frank 2010, the bank can keep anything you have associated with it. You're an unsecured creditor. Do not leave your retirement there. My friends at Noble Gold that I've done business with for 8.5 years as an advertiser, 7.5 as a customer many times over, they can fix this. They also can set you up with investment opportunities. Now, the FTC wants me to tell you there are no guarantees. We agree with that. But Noble Gold is solid, and that's why I keep going back to the well. You should, too. Let me send you a free information packet. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Put your email in. I'll send you out an information packet that has Noble Gold's number on it, and then we can be off to the races. And when the banks collapse, you will not have a 1929 moment. Well, our guest, Sam Anthony, has a really, really good background. He has over two decades of expertise in the online media industry, propelled by the belief that the internet should revolutionize traditional media and be a more vibrant and adaptable media and landscape, as opposed to what most of us have experienced with the censorship. He's played a pivotal role in designing and implementing technology that's enabled thousands of journalists to seamlessly transition into this new digital realm. Sam is dedicated to establishing a media platform. That's what we're going to talk about here today. A media platform that unveils the truth without censorship. And Sam is dedicated to letting you have your say, letting journalists have their say. And I'm telling you, this is revolutionary. The way he's setting it up is brilliant. There are other people that have done this, but they come in on one level and the competition is sometimes overwhelming. And this is my personal take on this. Sam's coming in on multiple levels and there won't be the widespread opposition that our friends who we love at One American News, for example, sometimes Newsmax, they hit huge obstacles. Sam has got a multi-pronged attack, and we're going to talk about that. Sam, welcome to the show. First time on the show. It's really good to have you.
Dave, it's great to be here, really.
Yeah, it's just when I talked to you about this last week, I was just blown away. And I had to actually gather myself because what you're doing is so multidimensional. I had trouble explaining it to friends of mine in bullet form. It's complex, but very simple to get into and operate. That's what my first take is. And what you're also doing to raise money for this venture is brilliant. And I like your explanation. You'd rather have thousands of smaller investors than a big time investor who will throw you $1 million, but now you can print the news that they want people to see, not what other people want to print.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, are you a response to the censorship we see in the one-sided journalism that we characterizes the mainstream media? Is that your motivation for this?
When I started it, it wasn't, but it is now. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, Dave, but like I have a partner that I've had in this business for years, and she used to tell me the mainstream media is lying. And I would say, no, they're not. What would they lie for? Right. But let me finish. When Trump won in 2016, that's when I realized how much they were actually lying, because they completely turned on and started manufacturing stuff. So to me, that's when I woke up and saw, you know, what was really happening. And I went, holy crap, you're right. So these guys actually have an agenda. And then that's when I said, you know, what I'm doing is far bigger than me. I mean, this is something that's important to the country. It's important to, you know, I plan on taking this global. So it's important to humanity in general. I mean, you don't want a world where you're just controlled, you know, with centralized news. You need to decentralize that stuff. And so that's what we're in the process of doing. And here's the good news. It's not even hard to do anymore. They're all going out of business. So it's like the fish are jumping in the boat. and I'll
That's
explain
true.
that.
That's true. You're so on the money with that. They are going broke. In fact, sometimes when I compare numbers to what I'm doing to say one of the major networks, our show versus a show like Wolf Blitzer's War Room, sometimes we outdraw him. And
I believe it.
it's pretty interesting when you look at this. This is why in the White House, they've created in the press room what they're going to call Podcasters Row. And I wish I had the time to do it, but if they do it on a rotating basis, I may have to apply. I'm going to have to look into this. But they recognize the power of general media. You know what this reminds me of, though, too, what's going on in the media? Back in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church reigned supreme in Europe, and they gave their sermons in Latin. And 99% of the people in church didn't understand Latin. And that, to me, that's the analogy I like to apply to the mainstream media today. We're not speaking their nonsense, and we need to all get on the same path, which is the path of truth. And I'll tell you, this is a big industry to control the news. So my next question, how much opposition have you received, and what do you anticipate being obstacles going forward?
Well, I've received zero opposition. I would suspect that as we start really becoming massive, you probably won't have so much opposition as you'll have people coming in wanting to become big investors in this so they can end up getting control of it.
I
That
see.
would be my guess because I'm extremely broad, Dave. You know, it's not like I'm political in nature. I'm you know, local events, I'm local news, I'm the bank robbery, the car crash, the city council meeting. I have people that do cooking shows. I have people that do, Formula One shows, and then they write formula. I mean, it's very broad in scope. I'm golf, tennis, hockey, hockey, basketball, baseball. It's broad. So it's and then it could go down to a local level, right? So I could have somebody's little league game appear in a sports section in one city, while the high school game goes to a market, still sports news, while the Monday Night Football game goes national. So what I am is the daily newspaper that's wrapped inside, let's say, USA Today, if that makes any sense.
It does. What USA Today did a long time ago, and it was brilliant, was on the back of their sports section, they used to have state breakdowns, the biggest event in a state on a local sports basis. And I thought that was really smart. It actually landed me a job. I moved to Arizona because I wanted to get away from the snow, and I was in Colorado, and I actually saw a high school basketball coach had resigned to go, well, I can go take his place. And that's how I actually found out about the opening and applied. And that was brilliantly done. So let me see if we have this right. You're going to have local news, but I'm assuming you'll have category for regional and world news, and as well as national.
Of course. I mean, so news is either going to be city, county, market, state, regional, or national. So what we are is a news content distribution platform with mega scale. And all I'm doing, the model's the exact replication of the physical world, the media business, how it works, minus all the print and distribution costs, and it puts the power to press in the hands of the people. So we could distribute content by subject and geography, whether it's a city or a county or a market or, region. I'll show you. I mean, it's pretty simple to do.
Yeah, well, the content is only going to be as good as the content creators. So what's your mechanism for deciding on who becomes a content creator?
Well, the content creators sign up, and we have thousands of them. But ultimately, it's because we'll publish their stuff. The thing is, it's the marketplace who actually decides, not me. So this is where a free speech platform is extremely important, Dave, because you want both sides to be heard. But ultimately at the end of the day, I'm not here to tell you have a bad opinion. We will publish that opinion, but it's going to be the marketplace that decides whether you make it or not. And it's no different than YouTube, right? I mean, how many YouTube channels you ever been to where the last posting was 4 years ago?
Interesting. That's very interesting. How do you draw your audience?
From the content creator. So here's how my model works. It's no different than YouTube's monetization model, which everybody understands. As a person on YouTube, your job is to build an audience, right? It's not YouTube's job to build your audience, it's your job. So
Right.
once you build an audience, they'll monetize you. And every time somebody watches your show, depending on the amount of people watching it, you get a percentage of the ad revenue. right? It works the same with me. It doesn't matter if it's multimedia, like a video or audio or written content. So I could take somebody that writes a story about the high school football game. We publish that content in whatever market it is in the sports section. What they do is they share it on their social media pages to the people that follow them because they like their content. We're just hosting it. They share it to them. Those people click the link to consume that information on our site. We sell the ads and they get a percentage of the ad revenue. It's just that simple.
So also what you're giving to is a voice to people who have been discriminated against, like Tucker Carlson.
Completely.
Yes, that's wow. It's a great concept. And but what about search engine bias? Are you concerned about that in terms of finding people who are writing on your site?
Not really, because 99% of the content we get is local news. The search engines aren't going to cut off somebody's Little League game, right? They're
Okay.
the stuff they're gonna that's gonna affect it is going to be more of the conservative political. But by the time you become the 10,000-pound gorilla, it won't really matter anyway.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And what's I don't know what the percentages are any longer, but the data suggests from what I read in the polls with various numbers is that people are getting their news off of the net. They're not getting it from TV.
Okay, so I know a lot about this. So 70%, I think it's the average age of the cable news viewer and radio is 70 plus. Okay, that's the average age. All right. Now, I don't need to tell you, I mean, just look it up on Google. What does the average person live to? Right. So some could be 100 and some could be 30. But, at the end of the day, I think it's 76, 77, 78 at that point. So the reason, I tell people the legacy media is not going to survive. And it has nothing to do with them lying. That just sped up the process. They're not going to make it because there's still a demand for news. It's just consumption's changed, Dave. Okay, that's all it is. I mean, you've got the older generation. Look, I grew up watching cable news. You grew up watching cable news, but find me a 40-year-old that does that. They don't. Everything they get is on TikTok. It's on Instagram. It's all online. It's on Rumble. It's on YouTube. This is where people get their news today. It's just the way people consume information that's changed. So all we did was create a model that would ultimately replace the legacy media.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the criticisms I imagine that a venture like yours is going to get is, gee, there's no producer to guarantee that the truth is being told, but we know how that's been manipulated in the mainstream media. So it's really an invalid. So really, it's the people that will get to decide how believable or how interesting the material is.
So Dave, you have a show, and the only thing you have is your integrity, right? Your credibility. And so if you started lying to your audience, how fast would they leave?
Oh, they'll disagree sometimes with truth that's omnipresent. So yeah, I just Trump is president. No, he's not. I get some things like that now and then. But yeah, basically, yeah, you're correct. And a
People
lot of
follow you because they trust you.
yeah, and a lot of people will add to what I do. And actually, too, I'll tell you, I'll publish something. I'll get a really good comment and I go, I need to look into this. And sometimes it turns into another show. And that's really productive. Is there going to be public feedback to the publications?
We had that, where they could comment. And it
Yeah.
turns out the comments always turn really nasty. I've done it a couple times. And so I turned it off. But I think at some point we're going to have to turn it back on and just deal with it. Sometimes it just gets crazy. It's not hard to put together. I mean, there's widgets for it, or we could create our own and do it. It's just that sometimes comments get bad and it just got old. So, we turned it off.
Yeah, I understand because I think especially with a venture that's coming up that's going to compete with so we say sacred entities at the local, state, and national level, you're going to get trolls coming in to try to disrupt in the comment sections one way to do it.
Yeah, one of the things I think is going to happen is at some point in time, you're going to get people that's created accounts and they're going to put out fake news. And the public is actually going to let you know. So let's say somebody goes to a city council meeting in your area and they fabricate a story. Well, what's going to happen is we're going to get emails from people that were there saying that's not true, it didn't happen. So we'll find out who that person is. We'll find out if it actually did happen or didn't, and we'll just get rid of them. You will have that. But at the end of the day, the marketplace is going to weed out all the BS.
Yeah, but I really like it how you're categorizing it too. It's a flavor of X, because you can go through an X, go through the files and just go one by one, and you'll see a local, a national, an international story. But I like how you're categorizing it, because it tells people where they can look for what they're interested in, and
It's like a,
it's more
yeah, it's like,
refined.
it's like a newspaper, Dave. The model's been around for 200 years. It worked.
Yeah.
This is the exact replication of the physical world online, which is massive scale.
Do you have any projections about where you are now in terms of the size of your operation and projections for where you think it'll be?
Yeah, well, I have goals that I want to hit. Like this year, the goal is 5,000 independent news reporters. That's the goal, and there's no shortage of them. I could show you on LinkedIn. There's almost a 500,000 people that are now calling themselves freelancers. Dave, I remember when that was under 50,000. Okay, there's almost 500,000 people. Most of them are part of the downsizing of the legacy media. And how about this one? I know there's 170 or 80,000 student journalists on LinkedIn, and I'm kind of surprised because kids aren't on LinkedIn. It's more of a business website. But when all these kids in journalism school, and I'm going to guess there's a 500,000 plus, where are they going to get a job when they get out? Who's hiring? All I see is layoffs. So to us, those people that get out have a passion for journalism. I think those are the people that are going to come on board with us.
I
I
agree.
do. What I've learned is that there's never been a paradigm in history where the old guard was part of the new, meaning, the people who had the telegraph weren't part of the telephone, and the people that were, the horse and buggy people weren't part of the automobile, right? It's always new innovators that do it, because they can't see the forest or the trees. They're focused on their own stuff. So my personal take on this is I think the old guard is not going to be able to deal with new media. I think it's going to be the younger generation that does it.
Yeah, and I hope that Charlie Kirk keeps going to college campuses, because younger people tend to be more liberal. That's my personal bias. And let's hope that I think this is my bias. I think we've certainly gone down the wrong path following liberalism, and I hear what you're saying about needing both sides. Unfortunately, that view is not shared in the mainstream media, and that's not what people are getting. And it's interesting how you're approaching this. But what I really like, though, is the organizational structure that you have. On a scale that you're going to do this, I don't think I've ever seen it. I have never seen it.
I'm in the process of opening up Canada. I could open up another country with a zip code table, Dave. This
That's
is,
amazing.
I mean, I could have 180 countries open if I had the content for it. Canada would be easy because you could run American news in there and then they could fill in the Canadian content. But, how do you do that in Germany and then, and in the UK, right? So that'll be a little bit different, but we'll get there.
You'd have to have a translation feature to your work.
Well, no, you could, of course, but what I mean is the where's the national news for for England going to come from? Because they don't care about US stuff, right? I mean, so in Canada, they do care about US stuff, but then we could also populate the national Canadian news, but that could come from all the journalists that are already on our platform.
Yeah, be careful with the UK. I've read some things there. That have warned Americans, if you come to the UK and you have violated our publication procedures, i.e. censorship, we'll arrest you when you get off the plane. I've seen references to this from officials.
I believe it. I just won't
Yeah.
go there. That's all.
Well,
I have no need.
they're kicking in doors for Facebook posts in the UK.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh yeah, I hear from these people. They send me emails, say, please tell this story, because we can't tell it here. And it's really interesting. So you better be careful when you travel
I'm
internationally.
staying here. I'm not traveling anywhere. You
Yeah,
forget
that's going to
it.
be a real issue. Tell me a little bit about the marketing end of things, about how you're going to attract advertising.
No different than the way Facebook and Google did it. They did a marketing campaign. I don't know if you remember, Dave, but I used to get them like emails or like with a $50 coupon or $100 coupon For, do you remember that at all? I mean, I
Mm-hmm.
have one for LinkedIn still in my inbox where they sent me for $50 to try out advertising. So what happens is you log in, you create an account, you put in your credit card information, you put in your promo code for 50 or 100 bucks, whatever they give you. So I just finished three ads. One is for the investment side, one is for journalist side, to sign up new journalists. And the third one is for advertisers, waiting for the video side to be done. And then I'm going to start test marketing. And so it's really just for the local businesses, you're going to give it away, give them a $50 credit to try it out on a self-service ad platform. And then, from there, you'll keep a percentage like everybody else. That's how you're going to do it. So it's not going to be salespeople if that's what you think.
Yeah, that's I like that approach because it's optional, it's non-intrusive, and of course you'll be selling everyone's data like Facebook, right? I'm just kidding. When I tell people to sign up for my newsletter, and it's really a good idea because we are 50,000 people get one newsletter. It says everything I've done in 24 hours, so it's very convenient. And then people ask me, "Do you sell the data, Dave?" So I have to come in and give that disclaimer in the beginning. How are you attracting journalists, people that are going to come in and contribute? Because I imagine there's going to be grassroots, local, and their interest is narrow. Then you're going to have people like me that do more national stuff. How are you attracting journalists to come into your organization?
I have an ad running on LinkedIn right now, going out not to freelance journalists, but to student journalists. So I've been signing up a lot of students. Okay. Also, I do a lot of shows. Like today, I think I have five shows I'm going to be doing. And we talk about this, and people sign up. And here's the brilliance of this, Dave. With YouTube, anybody can have their own become their own broadcaster,
That's right.
right? And the cream will rise to the top. And that technology did not exist 25 years ago. So if you were watching network TV and you wanted to be a sports commentator or you wanted to talk about maybe a specific topic like golf or tennis, that wasn't available unless you got a job at the Golf Channel or, ESPN Sports or something like that. So the cool part about YouTube is everybody can be a broadcaster. And the cream will rise to the top. And that's why I said, have you ever been to YouTube and seen a channel where the last posting was 4 years ago? It's probably because nobody liked their content. They couldn't build an audience, right?
Yeah, that's you're right. And it was so hard to break in. I know this from experience. When I was a college basketball coach my first couple of years, someone suggested to me, "Dave, when you leave coaching, you might be pretty good at announcing games or doing color commentary." And so they said, "Why don't you?" And I said, "Where do I look?" And they gave me some ideas, like Columbia Broadcasting is where I ended up going. And they go, "Yeah, Dave, we really like you." And I did a demo for them in their studio in Phoenix, and they said, "We really like you." And where they wanted to send me to work, it was probably about 8,000 people in the town. The weather was terrible. I'm not going to identify the area because I don't want to make enemies. And it was so hard to break in. And I tried a couple of other times, and I just couldn't get anything. I didn't expect to start at the top, but I didn't get anything really worth very much at all. And you're right. This levels the playing field, doesn't it?
Well, completely. And I'm
Yeah.
going to tell you why. It's because now anybody can be a journalist, right? It's not like it's my take on this is, let's say you're somebody proactive in the community. It doesn't matter, female, male, soccer mom, soccer dad, you go to the school board meetings, the city council meetings. Well, in this day and age, you could go there. You could take notes, you could come home, you could write an article, or you could put your notes into ChatGPT and have it spit you out something. And once you like it, you could submit that content to us. And then once approved, you could share it with the community and you become the news reporter in your community. Just like you become the golf broadcaster in your community or the political broadcaster in your community. So it allows everybody the ability to be able to become a news reporter. And again, the cream will rise to the top.
That's interesting. You're describing a process pretty closely to how I got involved in this business. I was teaching my undergraduate psychology classes. I was coaching basketball and I was happy. And we moved to what was going to be our retirement home in rural northern Maricopa County. And all of a sudden, the globalist guys show up and we want your land and you're too close to an Air Force base. That was their excuse. That was nonsense. They wanted an underground water aquifer and put a major highway through as part of the Canamex system of the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And we found that out. We only had a community of 300 people then. So they said, "You're the spokesperson, Dave." And here's what ended up happening. I started going on radio shows, first locally and then nationally. And then people with other causes would approach me, "Dave, how should we handle this? You're dealing with it." And one thing led to another. And pretty soon I had a radio show and it was being syndicated. And see, this is the opportunity that you're providing for people, and they don't have to be abused by the system to get into it.
Exactly. I mean,
Yeah.
look, you're going to produce your own content. We're not
Love
going to
it.
censor it. Okay. I mean, we just don't want anything illegal to go up, but the marketplace is going to decide. And, I'm going to tell you something else, Dave. Being in this business for as long as I've been doing it now, the next mainstream media, right? The thing that replaces the legacy, which will become the next mainstream, is going to be a platform because all the platforms have all the traffic because they have public participation, right? X has 600 million users, for God's sake. Okay. So that's where they get all their traffic from, the 600 million users posting and sharing. So it'll be a platform like X, but like us, hyperlocal, where the local public can have a voice and they can share in the narrative. It'll have the monetization model where news reporters, and it doesn't have to be somebody that's been in the business before, it could be a new one, writes a story about the high school football game or the city council meeting and shares it on social media along with a self-service ad platform where people could buy their own ad and drill down to one zip code. Everything I just described happens on other platforms. They just don't do it around news. So this is not something new. Everybody knows monetization, right? Everybody knows geolocation. So it's really what I do will ultimately replace the legacy media, but the news reporting is coming from independent people that completely decentralizes and democratizes the news business. And if there's anything that you took out of that, what I just said is the
Yeah.
most important thing ever for your audience. Everybody's seen the Sinclair Broadcasting where you have the 20 or 30 TV stations saying the same thing at the same time, right? That same, for it's a threat to our democracy. Okay, well, where do you think it came from? It came from one person who sent that to the local markets who were reading it off of a teleprompter. That's centralized news where they're controlling the information you get. What our platform does is it completely decentralizes it, where news reporting is done freely, where people can write a story and submit it. And by the way, Dave, I've been doing this a long time. So I hear these stories from these journalists who tell me how the newspaper industry works. And I'm going to give you just a quick a update on this. Let's say you wrote a story and you took it to, in your market, Maricopa County is going to be the Review, what, not the Review Journal, it's the AZ Central or Arizona Republic, right? Well, let's say it's a big story. You've been working on it for a year. It's absolutely spot on accurate. They don't have to run it, right? If there's a possibility when they take it, not to the editor, when they take it to the review board is going to look at it. And if that's somebody's cousin or brother or friend, and it's, or a big advertiser, they can just nix the story. And then what Alex Newman was telling me the other day when I was on with him and Sarah is he said, not only that, they'll cut it up and completely change the whole story,
Yeah.
which is not the story he wrote. So the reason I'm telling you this is because as the reporter, you're the review board. If this is what you approve, it gets run.
Yeah, they'd say that, you're speaking music to my ears.
Thought
When
you would
we were
like that.
fighting our property rights battle, my wife and I went to the editorial board, and I guess I was becoming enough of a threat in the media that they said, "We got to deal with this guy." I didn't know that was the agenda when I walked in. And at the end of the meeting, we had all these Fifth Amendment arguments. We had case law. They can't do this to us because they were just trying to force us off our property with no compensation. And here's what the editorial board said. Her name was Vanita. Hi, Vanita, because I'm sure you're going to hear this because we're going to send it to you. She said, "For the good of the area, for the good of the state, you just need to get off your land." And I said, "You mean without compensation?" "Yes." And see, that's the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. That's what I dealt with. And then after that, they started calling me, the classic term, conspiracy theorist. At first, in the beginning, I was kind of the victim. "Hey, here's a guy who's working in the community. works at a college, he's a nice guy, and this is happening to him. That was the media coverage I got in the beginning. And then in lockstep, it all changed in the mainstream media, and I was the devil. And it was pretty interesting.
Isn't that crazy? I
Yeah.
mean, how they just turned it around and you actually were the victim. And all of a sudden, they're now siding with the globalists.
Yeah. Well, with John McCain, he was a co-sponsor of the CAFTA Treaty along with Ted Kennedy. And we found out we had to go through a lot of documents to figure out what they were trying to do. Now, we're not totally out of the woods because it was a 30-year build out and it hasn't been 30 years. It's been 20. So I'm kind of holding my breath for 10 more years, but I think we're probably going to be okay. But the bottom line was I experienced this extreme media bias. And in fact, actually, I'm sure you've heard of KTR Radio, right? Number one news station in the market. And they do some decent things, but they had a host on there named Darren Dammy, who was sympathetic to our cause. And Darren had me on his show 3 times, and I heard from Darren. Boy, Dave, did I take hell for having you on. And see what you do with your platform, people aren't going to experience this.
No, they're not going to experience it because we're going to let it go right from the horse's mouth. I mean,
Yeah.
if you live in, I could say Scottsdale, and you have dirt on the mayor of Scottsdale, stealing money or whatever it is, that article's going to run. Okay. It doesn't matter. And I could care less. Okay. Because the journalist is responsible for their own content. I'm just the platform. Look, I have an iPhone. If I use my phone to call a hitman to kill somebody, Apple's not liable.
Yeah,
I
exactly. I
phone,
hear you.
I, yeah, we don't edit anything. The only thing we do is we will approve the story because we want to make sure it's running to the proper category and the proper geography. And if we didn't do that, there would only be one section, national news front page. Everybody thinks their stuff is front page now.
I have to tell you, I know where the bodies are buried in Maricopa County, and this will be their biggest nightmare.
Oh, completely. This is why the enemy for us is going to be governments, both local, state, and national. But eventually, you're going to get rid of all the corruption.
Yeah, well, it's already kind of started here
Yes,
in
it
Maricopa County, where outside forces, namely the Trump administration, is beginning to exert some influence. But I know a lot more than the Trump administration about what's happened here because I've had to live it. I know the nooks and crannies, I know the players, and I got to say this too: when we were fighting this monstrosity, we actually had some allies in the state legislature, so I don't want to paint them all with the same brush. A couple of them were absolutely instrumental into us eventually winning. And so I want to be fair about this, but this is, and see, people, I'm telling this story because you may not have my land rights issue, but if you're in your own community, you might have a school board that's unresponsive to what the people want for curriculum, or you may have a city council that won't let you have your say in the 3 minutes the minute you bring up budget issues or criticize one of them. Then you have an outlet now. That this is so good. Yeah, I want to cover one thing before we finish. And it's your crowdfunding. The way that you are funding this is brilliant, and I'm going to let you tell why.
Yeah, so I'm like my background is investments and investment banking. It is normally when you're doing something called a private placement, the only people that can participate are what's called accredited investors. People have heard of that, which represents 1% of the population. Typically, these go to the institutional players, which could be private equity, hedge funds, family offices, because they have all the money and they're looking for deals. I went to one of the Reawaken America tours in Miami a few years back, and there was 5,000 patriots there. And I said, my God, these are the people that need to own stock in my company, not the freaking hedge funds, right? I mean, not the BlackRocks and the Vanguards, because I always say, we are a news organization that's truly by the people for the people. Well, what would you say if I said, oh, by the way, we're funded by BlackRock and Vanguard, right? You would be like, you'd look at me going with your head going, what the hell is that, right? Because you're sleeping with the enemy. So what we decided to do was something called an equity crowd fund. And the cool part about this is anybody can participate. When you there's a website, it's actually done through a broker dealer. Ours, we use something called Issuance Express, which is owned by North Capital Partners. And when you log into our page on that site, you could read all about it, watch a video, and if you decide you want to make an investment, you have to fill out the subscription agreement, which is how it works. And based on your income, it tells you how much you can invest. So if you put in, which I think is awesome, because the reason they're trying to control this, they don't want small people to play, is somebody could take somebody's, nest egg, oh, just take your 50 grand and put it here, and it's their last 50 grand, right? And they might be 80 years old. So what this does is it limits the investment. If you make 20 grand a year, I'm going to guess you probably can put in $400 or $500 for the year. Okay, that's the maximum you can invest. Whereas if somebody makes a couple hundred grand a year, they can put in a lot more. So it's all based on income, and the system controls the investments from people, which is what I love. So nobody's calling and selling you stock. What people do is they go to the platform and they read about what we're doing. If they like it, they could just make an investment. And this is where I was telling you, I would rather have 5,000 people put in $1,000 than one guy give me 5 million, because who am I beholden to? So
Yeah,
this is the reason I
I
decided to
love
go.
it. You're limiting victimization on the low end of the income scale, but limiting the power that someone can exert on the higher end as well.
Yeah, and they could put in as little as $200, right? I mean, so that's the cool part. So I made it so everybody can participate. And there's an actual reason above and beyond that is I want distribution of my product. And so the way to do it is you get a bunch, imagine getting 10,000 people to put in $500 or something. Well, what you're doing is there's 10,000 people that are now know who you, what your business is, are promoting you. Some of them are going to end up becoming content creators themselves. Certainly, they're going to become readers. I mean, it's kind of a brilliant way to do it. So, a little more tedious because it's easier to go to an institution that likes these kind of deals and, raise 3 to 5 million. But, this is much better.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It is much better, and it keeps the control with the people as a whole. Competition, obviously, mainstream media, they're going to have a hard time competing with your multidimensional approach of coverage. But also, too, I'm wondering, is this competition for social media?
I don't think so. That's a really good question. Nobody's ever asked me that before. So it's, I think, social media, if we're talking like a Facebook or like an X or a Truth Social, those are all distribution platforms for other people's stuff.
That's
So
true.
the way, yeah, so the way our product works is, as a journalist, you want to have followers, people that follow you, especially in the future moving forward. You want to build as big of a social media following as you can with people that like your content. Because when you submit your content to somebody like us, you're now going to share that story to your 1,000, 5,000, 100,000 followers. And those are the people that are going to come in to consume your content. But imagine having, because this is where, we could have, because we're localized, there's 20,000 cities, there's 3,300 counties, there's 210 markets. We could, and then all the different categories. Like I have people that do Formula One racing only, okay? Formula One. Right? Horse racing, boxing, home and garden, food and wine, local news, events, all kinds of content come into our platform all day, every day, and it just keeps mushrooming and getting bigger. So imagine having a million content creators that are all pushing traffic to their own content. You're basically creating one uniform media, Dave.
Yeah, is this menu driven for people who come in and are exploring what you're doing?
Sure. Well, people find out about me because, like, I'll give you a perfect example. Somebody in the state of Washington wrote a story about child sex trafficking. Okay. And I got an email over the weekend from somebody who said that they wanted us to make a correction on it. And I think they called it, instead of child sex trafficking, or it was kid sex trafficking, they just wanted the word kid changed to child. But here's who sent it to me. The person was a high-profile person that was a survivor of child sex trafficking. I'm like, holy crap. So, it was no big deal. I just
Wow.
changed the word kid to child. I mean, nobody would ever care about that. But the point is that content, I can tell you exactly how she got it. It's because the content creator probably had her on the show, and this was a written story. She does video as well. But she shared that out with a handful of people that follow her. And that's how she got the story. And that's how all of our content create. But then what happens is they come back because the content changes all day long, every day. Look at my website. Look at the top stories on the front page. It changes all day long. Anything big happens, we have it. I mean, this is a full-blown news department, but all the content comes in from all the local people.
Wow, that's, like I said, I'm still blown away by this, and I'm wondering why no one ever thought to do this. It may come to a time when one of the mainstream media networks or several of them will imitate your model.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But
Okay,
let me tell you why I
go
say
ahead.
this. Arizona Republic was once, when I moved to Arizona in the 80s, it was the Phoenix Gazette and the Arizona Republic. And Arizona Republic just drove them out of business, and they were on everyone's front porch. And then with the digital age and the fact that the paper took kind of a liberal turn that didn't reflect the community, and they fell into less popularity, pretty soon there were fewer and fewer and fewer subscriptions. They shrunk their office space. Here's the internet, and now AZ Central carries the ball for the Arizona Republic. And that's why I'm saying I think eventually some of the networks are going to have to say, well, we can go broke or we can join them.
Here's the issue. It's all about quality control. That's why there's no submit news buttons on any of those websites,
That's true.
because
Yeah, good point.
they do not care about your opinion, okay? It's all about quality control.
It's
And
true.
then like if you're talking about AZ Central and Arizona Republic, well, it's just for Arizona, right? And it's really primarily for Maricopa County, right? In that surrounding area. It's certainly not for Flagstaff, right? They gotta have their own. That's way, I don't know, north or west or whatever it is. So those people are not going to be the people that do this. What you don't want is somebody like a George Soros to do this, right? Where they allow the public to come in and then they flip the script and they change the narrative and they're pushing their own agenda. I really don't see that happening until, look at it this way. There's 750,000 people on LinkedIn that I want to move to my platform. Okay. They have nowhere to go. So it's either me or welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order? Okay. There's nothing left. There's nobody hiring. So once we move those people over, we are the 10,000-pound gorilla. Okay. Not even that many. I mean, what'll happen is you'll have people, and I'll give you a perfect example. YouTube controlled basically 100% of the video market before, and then Rumble started in 2013. Well, technically, it wasn't really a bright move simply because how are you going to compete with YouTube? Dave, do you really think that you could compete with eBay if you created an eBay product
No,
for,
not at all. No,
okay.
no.
And for the audience, nobody can. You can't create another Google or Amazon. I mean, that stuff is mega scale. It's all over with, right? They control the market. The only reason Rumble exists today, because they would have been out of business, is because YouTube decided to go woke and shake off a few people that Rumble filled the void. Well, what void do I fill? The void I fill is the freaking million people that are out of work in the media industry. That's the void I
That's a good
fill.
point. Yeah,
And
that's.
so the first to market. So my goal right now, this is in terms of opportunity. Like if you're talking about investment opportunity, this is the biggest opportunity that any of us, me, you, anybody's going to see in our lifetime. This is like going from the telegraph to the telephone. I'm the only player. All news organizations, by their nature, are aggregators of information. You know what I'm talking about. People that have news will send a press release to the media. So if you live in Miami, you send it to the media in Miami. If you live in Phoenix, you send it to the media in Phoenix. I'm an aggregator everywhere. And what we're doing is bringing all the country's information under one umbrella and creating one uniform media. That's the model,
It's
okay?
brilliant.
It's their model. I just made it so the public can interact. That's all it is, with hyperlocal geolocation.
Does
So
it cost anything for people to come and sign up?
no, not at all.
I have to ask that, and I'll tell you why. AZ Central, for example, will give you like six free articles. And I'm sorry if I'm in error, but I'm close. And on the seventh, you have to become a paid subscriber.
And all their content is in-house people that are all in their payroll.
Exactly.
All my content comes in from people that are not in my payroll,
But
that
my
are
point
using
is,
me as distribution.
it's free and it's open to everybody, and it's not censored. I mean, beyond a reasonable deal. Like I said, you can't threaten people and that kind of thing. But any I used to live in the Sterling, Colorado community for a couple of years, And they have a great little paper there. I love it. And nice people that run it. But if you want online news, you're paying for it. And this is a model they're going to have to change. They're going to go broke doing this stuff with your with what you're doing.
Yeah, Dave, they're gonna go broke anyway. I mean, the writing's on the wall. They're not gonna survive. It's not, like I said, I'm not putting them out of business. If I quit and shut everything down, they're still not gonna survive anyway. But what I do is inevitable. There's a void that needs to be filled, and there's somebody else that will fill that void. What I'm saying is I already have thousands of content creators. I'm gonna finish the job, right? But what happens is, like in any business, the reason there's investment capital is I don't need people's money to figure out the model. What's going to happen is, as we start scaling and building, and we go from 5,000 people to 10,000 to 50,000, you don't think that's going to create internal problems? I mean, they're all the greatest problems in the world to have because your traffic is through the roof, but you're going to need an infrastructure to support that.
That's true. Yeah, that's
That's
exactly.
all it is. I mean, look at Amazon. I mean, Amazon, well, they went to the well many times, but if they only had one customer, they would only need one delivery guy, right? But when they have 30 million of them or 100 million, they need a lot of people driving around delivering stuff. So infrastructure becomes so much greater.
Yeah, that is the better, more effective model. But I know how this started. You think about the early days of radio, there were just three networks. And if you controlled the three networks, you could control the news to your benefit. And I think this is where the mentality existed to where we don't have open and free news. And I will tell you, YouTube and Rumble and some of the other social media sites like Truth Social, they get criticized, but I'll tell you this, it's a lot more free than the mainstream media. It really is.
Completely. Yeah,
Yeah.
you have companies out there, like Breitbart and The Hill, and then you have Frank Speech, and then you have Patriot TV, right? You have Brighteon. All these people are fighting disinformation with the mainstream media, but none have any scale, right? None have any scale. And so what I am is an aggregator of all of that stuff. But it could be the high school football game. It could be the Easter egg hunt in Schaumburg, Illinois. You see what I mean?
I know
At a
I got
local
it.
church or the local bake sale from some church that happened in Beaumont, Montana, right? I mean, that's the news we're talking about. Very broad in scope.
Yeah, and you helped me process something here, though, and I'm going to give you credit for it. I know this is direct competition for mainstream media, but I asked you the social media question, and as I process your answer now, I can see there's no reason to have competition because people get to decide where they're going to participate and put out their version of the news.
Exactly.
That was a really good answer, by the way. Well, let's talk to people about how they can get involved. We could be talking to potential investors or reporters. So, what can they do?
Yeah. So the domain is yournews.com. And what they can do is they log into yournews.com. They scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's something there that says, become a citizen journalist. If you're interested in becoming a reporter as a monetized reporter, you would click that and scroll down a little bit. There's a couple of videos you could listen to, and then you fill out an application, which takes a minute or so. If you're interested in investing in the company, at the bottom to the right, there's something that says invest. It'll take you to a place called North Capital Partners. The name of our company, the holding company, is called Nico Ventures, which owns the domain Your News. Nico Ventures, just if you look up the definition of it, it means victory of the people, which is kind of cool. I didn't Nico, the word Nico means that. And that would be very similar to like News Corp owns Fox News and 20 other companies. So it is a holding company.
I got
That's
it.
what it is.
Yeah, well, you got to have a business model. I mean, there's and but that doesn't influence content. But I think it's really a good idea. If you would send me a summary with the links of how people could get involved, when we
Yeah.
post it to various places, I'll make sure that's included.
Of course.
Because I
Yeah.
think this is such a novel idea, and I got to tell you, I think it's absolutely brilliant. One other question I have that's popped into my head: Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary. She's having trouble with the courts or saying AP has to be in everything you do now. Like they get to choose who gets to attend your specialized briefing. But do you think this will affect press releases out of Congress or press conferences, what you're doing? Are they going to have to pay attention to the decentralized market?
Well, of course they do. They're already doing it. They already have podcasters in there. So like I told you over the weekend, Saturday, I just picked up a woman. I don't remember her name, but I looked at her bio on her LinkedIn page, and she was a Fox News correspondent for DC. I'm
Oh my.
guessing she lost her job. Okay. I don't even know what to tell you. So she's probably looking at, hey, how can I leverage this opportunity? Well, she's right there in DC. So if I have to get credentials so she could go in, by all means, why not? I could have a million of her, Dave. Remember this, there's 20,000 cities, okay? So, and then think of all the categories. So if I had five people a city, that is 100,000 news reporters. Associated Press is the largest, has the most news reporters in the world. Do you know how many they are?
No.
3,000.
Wow.
Wait,
Okay.
Reuters, I thought was the biggest. Turns out it's not. It's 2,500.
My gosh, that's incredible.
Okay, so
That is.
the reason I'm telling you this is imagine now five per city is not enough because we have people that write about they do restaurant reviews. That's their thing, right? So it could be in Schaumburg, Illinois. They're running around going to restaurants and writing reviews. Well, that's their business. It's not national news. It's not even county news, or it might be Maricopa County, or not Maricopa, but Cook County's kind of big, but it's going to run to a smaller geography,
Yeah,
right? Wherever
makes
people would
sense.
drive to that restaurant. I have people that do, they're theater critics, so they like to go to the local plays and they write a review about them. It's their passion. Why am I going to stop them? So the reason I'm telling you this stuff is because all these different categories we have, which are, got to be 40 of them, all right? Those 40 categories could have five people a city. You see what I mean? Call it even one a city.
Wow.
The city, I mean, you're still talking mass. I mean, we could have a million people covering this. And it works no different than YouTube. I mean, you still have the 80-20 rule, right? Where you have, 20% of the people that are more active, they're doing the bulk of the work. But that's the way everything works. But you're still talking about by the time we're done, and this is just the US. We'll be the largest media company in the freaking world. Once I pass 3,000, I'm there. Okay. So from anything after, it's just,
That's stunning.
I
I mean
know.
that, but I want to leave you with this compliment. I know you've brought on Alex Newman, and I got to
Yes.
say, wow. That's all I got to say is wow.
Can I tell you the story on that one?
Sure.
A
We got
Alex,
about 30. We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, I get a call from one of the podcasts. She goes, "Do you know Alex Newman?" I go, "Well, I know he's over at the New American, but I don't really know him." She says, "Well, you need to talk to him." So she hooks up with me with Alex Newman. We're having a conversation. I'm explaining it to Alex. Alex goes, "Can I see this on Zoom?" So I start showing him, and I show him the different markets, all the local news. And Alex goes, "What's your email?" I told him. He goes, "I'm sending you my resume." So I'm thinking to myself, "You want a job? What the hell are you doing?" He goes, "I want to be part of this. Read my resume, get back to me tomorrow." So I start reading his resume and I went, "Holy crap." I said it to my partner. "Did you ever read his resume? It's like, wow." Okay. So I called him back the next day. I said, "Alex, this is really impressive. I just was thinking he was going to be a content creator." He goes, "Sam, my interest is in putting together the journal." He goes, "You've got it. This is the next mainstream media.
Yeah.
I want to put together all the ethics and I want to do all the training for all the journalists that are interested on Zoom
Exactly.
calls, right?" And he goes, "I could bring in more people."
That's
So I.
incredible. It's a base of new reporters being trained the right way.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry to have to cut you off because we are flat out of time. The chipmunks are going to stop running. But I'm proud to be part of this organization. Yes, you'll see my stuff up there, ladies and gentlemen, from the Common Sense Show. Sam, thank you so much for doing this venture and thanks for coming on the Common Sense Show.
Dave, I was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you back here next time. Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show.